Unemployment stays the same, but some jobs were shed in February.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's The Morning Open. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The Labor Department's employment report shows 36,000 jobs lost in February and an unchanged unemployment rate of 9.7%. We're going to dig into those numbers coming up. Also, China and Google might bury the hatchet. And Robert Reich looks ahead to financial reform here in this country. But first, where's Wall Street? The S&P up about 0.2%. The NASDAQ up more than 0.5%. Same for the Dow, up 61 points now at 10,505. European shares are higher at the moment as well. Markets in Asia had some fairly big gains today, with the Nikkei adding more than 2.2%. Let's talk about that Labor Department employment report out today. Still no job growth, but certainly not the job losses like we saw a year ago. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial. He's with us live this morning from New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
All right, so if you were writing today's headline for this report, how would it read?
Well, it's not a rave, but on balance, a better-than-expected employment report in February.
All right, and as an economist, Chris, what strikes you as the most telling part of this report?
I think maybe the most important thing is the unemployment rate, which was unchanged at 9.7. That's still obviously much too high. But it fell 0.3 last month. Everyone thought it would back up 0.1 or so. The fact that it didn't is a good sign that we've got momentum moving in the right direction.
But we're still at just under 10% unemployment. There are still a lot of people out of work. I mean, what should they read into this report going forward?
Well, this is the most frustrating part. Turning the U.S. economy is like turning an oil tanker. It takes a really long time. But we have good momentum here in the numbers. And I think by spring, we'll start to see actual job growth. 6 to 12 months down the road, we'll see encouraging levels of job growth. If you can hang on just for a few more months, it is getting better.
Encouraging job growth. So 6 months down the road, we're talking, you know, jobs on the plus side?
Absolutely. On the plus side, 100,000 or more jobs created a month. There's decent momentum here. We've come from losses of almost 1 million a month to the last 3 months where jobs are essentially unchanged.
Chris Lowe from New York. Chris, thanks.
You're welcome.
The Greek parliament today passed a package of tax hikes and pay cuts for government workers. The $6.5 billion deal will help pull the Mediterranean nation out of deep debt. All that as protesters threw rocks outside the parliament building and had to be subdued by police with tear gas. 7 weeks ago, Google threatened to pull out of China, saying censorship and computer hacking were just too much. And yet the two sides are still talking, and they could be making nice. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports from Shanghai.
A lot of internet geeks in China thought Google would have left by now. When the company whined about Chinese web controls and hacking, chances seemed low that Beijing would accommodate the company. But is it? Social media strategist Tom Crampton is with Ogilvy Public Relations. He thinks China's reacting to pressure from U.S. Secretary of State Clinton. She's made the Google case a diplomatic beef.
It's something the U.S. government has almost worked in concert with Google to raise this beyond an issue that is about one company.
Google may think Beijing is heeding its complaints, or the company may have had a change of heart and decided 31% of China's vast web search market is not so bad after all. Problem is, if it stays in China, it'll have to explain itself back home.
Google is now going to be held quite accountable domestically in the U.S. to the statements it made.
For now, it seems Google is A-OK in China. It's hiring Chinese engineers, and next week rolls out smartphones in China with Google software. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
The White House's plan for financial regulatory reform has gotten a pretty cool reception so far in Congress. So what are the chances of passage? Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is with us this morning to give us his thoughts. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
Are we finally getting some movement on financial reform on both sides of the aisle?
A bit. The biggest sticking point has been over a new agency to protect consumers from abuses. You know, like mortgage bankers steering borrowers away from standard 30-year fixed loans toward higher-priced subprime loans. The House approved the creation of an independent consumer protection agency. The Senate Banking Committee seems on the verge of a compromise that would put the Consumer Protection Agency inside the Federal Reserve. The only problem is the Fed already has a consumer division, and so far it's notably failed to protect consumers.
That sounds a lot like bureaucratic gamesmanship.
Yes. Well, behind it is politics, of course. The simple fact, Steve, is that Wall Street doesn't want to deal with another agency. It doesn't want more oversight and is doing whatever it can to avoid it.
Are banks still going to be too big to fail?
No. And this actually is the encouraging thing. Bipartisan agreement on what they're calling a hybrid resolution fund. A fancy word meaning basically a fund to pay the costs of dismantling large financial firms that get into trouble. And much of the funding will be coming from the large banks.
What about, Bob, the so-called Volcker rule that would partly reestablish this wall between commercial and investment banking?
Well, the White House now wants it, but it's going nowhere. Wall Street hates it, and the Senate Banking Committee doesn't want to get near it.
So then does it look like we're going to get financial reform this year?
Well, let's put it this way, Steve. We'll get something. But the way it's moving, it won't be strong or bold enough to prevent another financial meltdown, I'm afraid.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich and current professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, the Securities and Exchange Commission has filed suit against a man who calls himself America's prophet. Sean David Morton's charged with bilking $6 million for more than 100, quote-unquote, investors. He promoted his psychic powers as a way of predicting stock trends. The SEC says the only power Morton had was one of persuasion. Now, given his self-proclaimed status, you have to wonder why he didn't see those charges from the SEC coming. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online, share your thoughts with us, and get the podcast while you're at our website, marketplace.org, and check out the Marketplace Minute there as well. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.